Made fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and the Secretary of the Energy Department, Jennifer Granholm, who, as you well know, is the former governor of Michigan. And before I jump into this conversation, which is part of our continuing series throughout the year about the community and climate, black folk and climate, just a series of conversations all year long. That's our priority around here. Before we jump to the conversation with Secretary Granholm, let me just start with a brief tribute. I think she'll appreciate this. I hope she does. It certainly means a great deal to me. Jennifer Granholm, Granholm and I are connected at a particular place, and she knows this. We both had a mutual friend named Damon Keith. It just happens that Damon Keith was a federal judge in the city of Detroit. And we had a conversation on this show some weeks ago, you may recall, about the 50th anniversary of Watergate, Richard Nixon and Watergate, 50 years, believe it or not. And that Watergate case ended up on the desk in the courtroom of a guy named Damon Keith, a federal judge in Detroit, who I got to know many years ago and befriended me early on in my career. And I would never go to Detroit, as I said earlier in the day's program. I'd never go to Chicago without seeing John H. Johnson at Ebony and Jet. I would never go to Detroit without having lunch or dinner with Judge Keith. I'll let her explain her connection to Judge Keith. But it was a black federal judge who wrote this line, speaking of Watergate, that democracies die behind closed doors. I loved that line then. I love it now. Democracies die behind closed doors. And so I can never enter a conversation with Jennifer Granholm without mentioning our friend Damon J. Keith. What say you, Secretary Granholm?
Oh, I'm so glad you start this conversation with Judge Keith. And by the way, hello. Nice to see you, or at least not see you, to talk to you again.
Yes.
I mean, Judge, you know, the judge, he was sort of like, for me anyway, the divining rod in my career. I mean, he was, he would joke, and he has three daughters. I was his fourth daughter in Michigan. He would always say he swore me in as attorney general. He swore me in both times as governor. When I was his law clerk, we were just super close, and all of his clerks are like family. And he's just one of those figures, not just for me personally, but for the city of Detroit. We are just so proud that he is like a founding father for us all, even though he has since passed. And but his legacy lives on, and I'm so grateful to you for reminding us.
No, he's quite an amazing guy. And for those who listen to this program regularly, hope that means you, and you. You hear the voice of Connie Rice, our regular contributor all the time. Connie Rice also was a law clerk for Judge Damon J. Keith. And so there are a lot of people who he trained. Jennifer Granholm was one of them, and I'm honored to have her on this program. Now, to our conversation about climate justice. Let me just share with you very quickly, Secretary Granholm. We did a survey here. This program is syndicated. You're being heard right now across the country, but I'm based in L.A., as you know. And my home station here in L.A., KBLA Talk 1580, not long ago did a survey, a serious survey of 500 registered and likely black voters about a number of issues. And we queried them in this poll that we commissioned by Eviterus on their concerns about climate justice. I wanted to share this with you right quick and get your take on it. The results of our survey highlight that more than 7 in 10, 72% of respondents believe that there is a direct connection between environmental justice, social justice, and civil rights. Equally as important, respondents overwhelmingly believe that pollution, climate change, and other forms of environmental harm impact black, Latino, and low-income communities more than white, Asian, wealthy, and coastal communities. Notably, the finding holds true across ideological lines and is consistent among black progressives, liberals, moderates, and conservatives. We found that in our survey. What say you?
And the data backs that survey up. The data shows that clearly communities of color are disproportionately negatively affected by industrial pollution, obviously asthma. A lot of the decisions that were made as we were building up industries in the last century put industries right in the thick of communities that were poor and that didn't have a voice, and that consequently are suffering asthma, you know, higher percentage of asthma, higher percentage of cancer. This is why the president has really focused on, you know, we talk about structural inequity. He's trying to figure out how to structure equity into how we distribute the benefits of his laws that he's passed, the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. We have taken that very seriously at the Department of Energy. And we and I'm glad to say that as a result of prioritizing communities, prioritizing fence line communities, prioritizing communities of color for grants, for investments, for the ability to put clean manufacturing or clean energy jobs in those communities, we're seeing, studies have shown, since the passage of these laws, two times the investment going to poor communities in communities of color than we have seen in the general population. So we're trying. We still got a lot more work to do. I can understand why people feel that way, because there's reality to it. But this president is trying to correct this in the best ways he can.
Let me ask a broad question, and I'm doing it intentionally and unapologetically so you can have the frame that you need to respond. What are the politics of energy these days?
Well, I would say this. It's unfortunate that there's been so much misinformation, you know, all of this fake news that you hear out there penetrates the energy world very seriously. So many people, unfortunately, on one side of the aisle believe that climate change is not real, for example, or that we shouldn't be spending any effort to address it. And certainly this is true when you come to place-based strategies to try to correct it. They don't want to see an emphasis for these investments going into, you know, poor communities. So it's real. It is real. But here's my hope on this, Tavis, is that because so many of these investments, I mean, there are a lot of poor communities that are in red states, and these investments going into those states, people getting hired in factories that are making solar panels, for example, or batteries for electric vehicles in those states, it's hard for you to rip up the investments that have been decided and gone into the ground and people have been hired once that happens. So while initially the politics may be tough for the president's agenda in how to address climate change, I think in reality, when it comes to whether they'll be undone, I think that both businesses and communities will stand up to prevent that.
Since she's teed it up, when we come forward, I want to talk about electric vehicles and what they mean for the future of climate in this country. Our guest is Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, and you're listening to her right now, and I'm glad about it, on Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Ranked number 45 on the Heavy 100 list of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America.
Tavis Smiley. Pleased to be joined by the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, as our guest in this hour. We were talking, in case you just tuned in a moment ago, about the politics of energy. It is sad that so many people in this country don't believe the science. It's one thing for everyday people not to believe that, Secretary Granholm. It's another thing when elected leaders advance agendas that suggest that they don't believe the science. How do you navigate that every day?
Well, here's what I think happens, is that the proof is in the pudding. First of all, number one, everybody is experiencing these extreme weather events every year, and they only get more and more extreme, and it costs a lot of money to clean them up. Every year is another heat record, and you know, one year that's hotter than the last and hotter than the last. Last summer will be the coolest summer that we ever experienced, unless we get our act together. So I think people are starting to realize it on the ground, but there is no doubt that we're battling interests that people that have, or entities that have, a vested interest in the status quo, they want to put their head in the sand. California, I mean, you're in California, all these people aren't able to get insurance because of wildfires. That's because of climate change. That's true in Florida and the Gulf Coast, where people can't get insurance because of hurricanes. That's, you know, it's happening on the micro level, it's happening on the macro level, and hopefully truth will out and science will out.
Yeah. There are two things I want to weave together and let you respond. And there's certainly more than two, but these two things come to mind immediately. If we could find a way for poor people, black and brown people, to afford or get access to these solar panels, they're not inexpensive. That'd make a difference. And if we ever find a way to get more people in EVs, electric vehicles, it seems to me that those are two things that would make a difference. I just don't know if they are now or will be, you tell me, within the reach of the people who actually need them.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things I want to say on solar panels. There is upfront cost if you don't lease them. If you lease solar panels, you can be able to put solar panels on your roof and pay less in your energy bills just but through the savings, because the lease company will take advantage of that. That's what I do. I lease my solar panels and my energy bill is like 20% less, mm-hmm. as even though I'm still paying a lease amount. So leasing companies can do that for folks. And the president's agenda has given a 30% tax credit to the leasing companies or to the citizens who put them on their roof. So that's important to know too. On the vehicles, Tavis, and I know, I mean, a lot of people just trying to, you know, get paycheck to paycheck, and they don't want to think about buying an electric vehicle. That seems so out of reach. But I will say this. First of all, the president's agenda gives you a $7,500 tax credit at the point of sale. So $7,500 off the top if you buy an electric vehicle that was made in America. And there are some lower cost electric vehicles like the Chevy Bolt, et cetera, which may be around $30,000. You take $7,500 off of that. And then you can stack those tax credits with state tax credits. So if we're talking California, that's $7,500 tax credit from the state, $7,500 tax credit from the federal government. Now you're talking about a much more affordable car. And the cost of operating that car is so much more affordable. So just quickly, you know, on average car take costs about $55, $60 to fill up, you know, depending on where you are. It costs you about $15 if you charge it at, if you have a garage and you have a plug at home, or $30 if you use a charger that's outside that may be a fast charger. But that's still, you know, you're saving $25 to $40 per fill up for an electric vehicle to operate. So there are ways to do this. In fact, you know, people can lease electric vehicles and still get that $7,500 tax credit. So there's the administration, I'll just say the Biden administration, looking at all sorts of ways to make it more, make people who are thinking about changing up their cars or feeling like they got to trade in a good deal. And if you get a used electric vehicle, you get $4,000 off at the dealership. So there are ways we're trying to make it more affordable for folks.
Since we just talked to Holly Bender from the Sierra Club before, we were honored to be joined by the Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. We will wrap our conversation when we come forward with the Secretary talking about coal plants and fossil fuels and renewable power sources and get her take on that fight. You're listening to Secretary Jennifer Granholm right now on Tavis Smiley.
Seeking the truth, speaking the truth. This is the Tavis Smiley Show.
Sounds different, huh? This is Tavis Smiley.
I've got 4 minutes left here, and I am grateful to Secretary Jennifer Granholm for giving us this half hour. But in the 4 minutes I have left, let me cover a couple things. We were just having a conversation, Secretary Granholm, before you came on, about coal plants and our reliance on fossil fuels. And I said there, I guess, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Every 4 years, certainly, we have to end our dependency on fossil fuels. What say you?
Oh, of course we do. The president has a goal of getting 100% clean electricity on our grid by 2035. We are providing all sorts of incentives for utilities to move in the direction of clean. We are seeing that happen across the country because these incentives are irresistible. We expect that we'll be 80% clean by 2030, meaning 80% free of fossil fuel and carbon producing generation, and 100% by 2035.
For those who are resisting, what's that resistance about? For those who are rather slow moving.
Yeah, well, we know, I mean, there are companies that depend upon the continuation of fossil fuels, particularly the oil and gas industry, the coal industry, obviously. But I also know that this is inexorable. We are moving in this direction. And I don't think that in the United States anyway, we're going to stop, because it's not just states. It's not just the federal government, it's local governments too, and local communities, in a very granular way. Communities want to move into clean and are devising plans to get there.
In these last 2 minutes, I'll let you share with us what your priorities are in real time as our energy secretary.
Yeah, let me just say a couple things we didn't touch on, Tavis, that I just want to remind people of. first of all, is that people can weatherize their home or their apartment and reduce their energy bills. And there's all sorts of incentives to do that. And we have put 10 times the amount of money into weatherization of people's homes. And we want people to raise their hand to say, I want my home to be weatherized so I can save energy bills. In addition to that, starting this summer, maybe in the fall, California and other states will be offering rebates for people if their HVAC system goes out and they want to replace it with electric heat pumps. If their gas stove goes out and they want to replace it with an induction stove, there's going to be huge rebates, especially for low-income folks to be able to install energy-efficient appliances. That's coming soon to a Home Depot near you.
That's good news, and the timing of it couldn't be more propitious. Secretary Granholm, it's been too long. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you for your work and your witness down through the years as governor and now as member of the Biden-Harris cabinet, and I really appreciate you giving us 30 minutes to talk to you. We'll do it again somewhere down the road, but thank you for your time and have a great rest of the day. I appreciate you.
All right. So appreciate you, too. Thanks, Tabitha.
All right. Take care. That's our program for today. Just like that, 3 hours gone. We are back here tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, so tomorrow is the best of Tavis Smiley. So I got to get off the air and figure out three of the best combos we had this week. We had a few of them, so it's going to be tough. But we're going to bring you three great conversations tomorrow that you might have missed from this week on the best of Tavis Smiley. Until tomorrow, thanks for tuning in. And as always, keep the faith.